This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WrestleMania this year, and it's been a long time since the double manias, double nights, has not happened, where at least one of them didn't actually main event. You know, you're supposed to win the Royal Rumble, you're supposed to, you know, get main event WrestleMania, and it's not going to happen.
So Kofi didn't win the Rumble, but that was when they realized, like, this is a machine. Kofi won Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, he should have won the Rumble. I mean, that was terrible booking, because when you're like Kofi Kingston, who was like the highlight reel of the Royal Rumble for over a decade. Yes. How did they not have him win it? Like, that was the real story for him. But no, he did not. He did not go on last. But who won the Rumble that year? I don't even remember. Was it Roman? Was it Shinsuke Nakamura? Yeah,
maybe. Yeah,
yeah. So what? Yeah, and he like so that year. When was Kofi Mania? No, it wasn't. That
Shinsuke was
another
22.
Either way,
but also that final was the last night though was the triple threat women's triple threat.
Shinsuke won. It was not the double mania, but the Charlotte. Yeah, anyway. It's the first time since they've done that. I don't care. I don't think it should. I don't think that should be the stipulation at the Rumble stipulation. Should you get a title shot at Mania? Right.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that you main event, because that way that it frees up your booking to be creative, but. Yeah, the Cena, sure, I'm still unimpressed. I don't think the Cena thing is penetrating what it should, you know, the mainstream conversation.
Oh, I agree. I 100% agree with you.
We talk about missed opportunities. I feel like it still could be better, and there's still chance, because I think
part of the problem, though, is they've been in Europe for 3 weeks.
Right. So you've got these middle-of-the-day Monday Night Raws. That does not help.
No.
It does not help.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk some NCAA tournament. Let's get into some of the other news that has happened in the world of sports. Also, we got CJ Hurt coming up during hour number two. Stick around, you're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Robert Irwin Jewelers is doing it again. This time it's at the Bartlett location. That's right, it's a 6-hour, 60% off sale. It's the real deal. It's not marking up to mark down. For 6 hours starting at 10 a.m. on Saturday, you get 60% off anything in the showcase. The sale only happens once every few years at each location. They just did it a little while ago at the South Haven location. Now they're doing it at the Bartlett location at the corner of Bartlett Boulevard and Stage Road, right next to Kroger. 60% off designer jewelry, 60% off engagement rings, 60% off bracelets, earrings, necklaces, gemstones, even name brand watches are 60% off. There's over 1,000 items to choose from. For complete details, go to rijewelers.com. Also, they have special financing available. You can take up to 6 months to pay interest-free at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Again, this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's at the Robert Irwin Jewelers in Bartlett at the corner of Bartlett Boulevard and Stage Road. CJ Hurt's going to join us here in about 20 minutes. Before we do that, let's get into the list. Chris Beard. Yeah, this according to my buddy Chase Parham over at rebelgrove.com. Ole Miss basketball coach Chris Beard is staying at Ole Miss. This was first reported by RebelGrove.com earlier on Wednesday, and Beard has since confirmed on the Everything app, X. The Rebels, fresh off a Sweet 16 berth, are even more committed to the program and keeping Beard long-term after an aggressive pursuit by Texas A&M. The Aggies identified Beard as their primary target and put all eggs into the basket as soon as and likely before Buzz Williams left for Maryland, a move that both sides wanted. Texas A&M, per sources, thought that a move back to Texas and a lofty salary and NIL offers would assure that Beard would be bound for College Station. The chase to take him strengthened on Tuesday, and by Wednesday, it was a complete full-court press. Ole Miss has a new deal in both salary and NIL amount in front of Beard, and they had that to him by mid-morning today, and the two sides agreed to the new terms around lunch. Beard spent lunch with Butler transfer portal target Augusto Cassia. A&M, per a source, offered Beard a contract worth approximately $7.3 million annually. I was told it was 6 years as well, and an increase in NIL dollars compared to his current situation at Ole Miss, though the exact terms were vaguer than Ole Miss's concrete plan it laid out on Wednesday. So Ole Miss is keeping Chris Beard, and I think for Ole Miss fans today, no matter what, is a good day, because I think Chris Beard is an elite coach, and you are keeping him there. But this also kind of got me thinking. I wonder, as we transition to this world of the SEC and the Big Ten and everyone else,
right,
is there going to be some type of penalty or additional compensation beyond, obviously, in the NFL, if you go steal somebody's coach, you usually have to give up draft compensation. You have to pay the buyout, and you have to give up either draft comp. The league determines a draft pick.
Compensatory.
Right. There's some type of compensation. Right now, in college, if you just go and you take somebody's coach, you just pay the buyout. And I'm wondering if...
And this would have been like in-conference.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Like,
so
like, this is
going down
the line.
This
should be frowned upon. And typically, you know, historically, you have, you know, very few, you know, different examples that they go against it. But, you know, some of them are senators now. But mm-hmm. the
pine box, baby.
Yeah, I but Lord. Like you think it should be frowned upon more. Like of all the things we could complain about, like in conference coach stealing.
Well, and like,
it did not happen here in this situation. But if I'm Ole Miss, like wait a minute, Texas A&M just let you in the conference. Now you're coming here. You want to take our coach that we brought back from the dead himself here.
I should also point this out. This is the exact same week last year that Chris Beard had the advances with Arkansas. Now,
another potential, yeah, in conference.
What I think is different, I'm not sure the Arkansas thing was real. I think in hindsight, I think the Arkansas thing was them waiting on Cal.
Yeah.
And
I could see that.
I think what is clearly different.
But they also probably didn't think the Cal thing was that real until it actually happened. I mean, I know, you know, that. That I mean, because that was a very special case, the way that went down with John Calipari.
Yeah, I think
Booster was very, very, very involved.
I think Cal had the offer at Arkansas for more than just Friday.
Okay, that
and I think like they were working on an exit strategy, and I think it's also important to note, I believe Chris Beard is still a Jimmy Sexton client, and this is what I would.
I mean, felt, it would make sense.
Well, last night I felt like was a Jimmy Sexton special in that Texas A&M thought they were getting Beard, and Ole Miss thought they were keeping Beard. And so,
I mean, it seems like the right move for him, right? Like, instead, I don't feel like he was very successful under Ole Miss. You have little pressure on this job. Not that you would have that much more Texas A&M. Like, if he's going to leave, he needs to leave for a better job.
Yeah,
Texas A&M.
The way that I said is, if I were advising him, that's not the job I'd leave for.
Right, that's exactly, yeah.
And so, at Ole Miss, like, for instance, if they don't make the tournament next year, now I think the same would probably have held true at A&M.
Like, everybody makes the tournament in the SEC, Jeffrey.
Only 86%, I think.
If you don't make the tournament and you're in the SEC, you're god-awful.
What's 7 divided by 8?
Yeah, this is the math edition of Jeffrey.
Yeah, only 87.5% of teams make it.
Tune in, kids. I think so. Obviously, great news for the University of Mississippi. But I think it's also good news for the University of Memphis because, I mean, I don't know where are the Tigers playing Ole Miss next year. They got a game on the schedule. There should. Like, as long as Memphis is in a bad conference, you need all those non-conference games to matter, and you're going to play Ole Miss. So you want Ole Miss to at least be halfway decent during this era.
A huge part of this year was that was a good win.
That was a great win. So, like, this is great news for Memphis is that Ole Miss is going to continue to be an opponent, not only that you just, you know, that's going to be a great game. Anyway, it's a guaranteed great game no matter who the coaches are, but, like, it's going to be helping your overall resume for next year. It was a big piece of the puzzle, as you pointed out.
Well, the other thing I think that this was important for Ole Miss was, beyond just keeping Beard, I believe that Ole Miss has to know at some point Beard probably is leaving. And I believe that their fallback plan was going to be Will Wade. And Will had already gone to NC State. Like, that's the other thing I'm interested. If you're Will Wade, are you wishing you should have waited a couple of weeks?
Going to A&M?
I think I'd rather have A&M than NC State.
I think right now, SEC, it's interesting. It's different, right? Because the SEC is so great now at basketball, you know. The best basketball conference, I think that's not disputed. You can look at where the how the brackets shook up. Half the Final Four is from the Southeastern Conference. You had 14 teams make the tournament. Like, as great, you know, and dominant as the SEC has been in football, you didn't really want to be there because if you weren't at the top, you couldn't be competitive. But for basketball, it's totally different, right? You want to be here because you can be one of those 14 teams. I think A&M is a better job than NC State. For sure, I would rather have coach basketball, I mean, Texas A&M, because your chances of getting, you just need to get to the tournament, and you got great chances of getting the tournament if the SEC, you get four, like, it's just a better path. It's the way the playoffs are structured in the postseason, if you will, in college basketball, that being in a great conference is great for you if the great conference is treated great, which the SEC was treated great, and this is another reason the Tigers, it sucks being in the conference you're in. Like, if you are in a great conference, yeah, you're going to lose more games, but you're going to be respected more, and your path is to success is greater. And I think, yeah, A&M job I would definitely take over NC State. A&M is, like, set up like they were in the tournament this year. So,
well, so, like, this is the other thing. Like, do I think the SEC, like, part of the reason why the SEC got 14 teams was they weren't just good in non-conference.
Their top was great.
They were dominant in non-conference. I mean, they won 90% of their non-conference games. So, like,
so one of the losses was at FedEx Forum.
Yeah. Correct. And then one was at Duke. Yep. I mean, yeah, like, so.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Do I know, like, do I think they'll repeat that again? No, but, like, what we clearly saw is a 6-win SEC team got into the NCAA tournament on the bracket. Oklahoma. So,
yeah.
You don't have to be that good to be a tournament team. I just wonder with Wade, I think Wade might have gotten into this situation where he kind of gambled, I think, at the end of last year going, all right, I can bring back this McNeese team. I didn't get what I wanted this year. I can bring it back, wait another year, and then I can go somewhere that I do want to go. And then when NC State opens up, it's kind of like it's the first thing that's offered. And, like, I wonder if he waits a couple of weeks if he's still the NC State coach.
Because no, I'm with you. I'm with you.
He went to Clemson, so maybe he wanted to be in the ACC. Like, I'm not saying, and maybe NC State, like, came up with a good plan and he's like, I trust that plan. I'd rather go do that. And maybe on the flip side, he's like, I don't have to be that good to be good in the ACC. I just took my McNeese team and pounded Clemson, the second team in the league. Like, maybe that was what he's thinking, whereas maybe it'll be tougher at A&M. Like, I don't know. Like, I do think, though, I think certainly financially the better decision would have been to wait. Because now, what does A&M do? I mean, A&M... Trev Alberts is the AD, and Trev obviously was at Nebraska. He has he's very tight with Hoiberg. So there are some people thinking you can go get him. I would imagine Chris Jans is going to throw his name out there.
That was my first thought after Beard, because I heard the rumors before today, obviously, that it was going to be Beard or Jans.
He's only been there 1 year, but a lot of people really think highly of Lutz at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
There's Bucky Ball at Samford. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know if A&M is I think A&M views themselves as bigger fishermen than that.
Who were you posting last night?
If Beard was going to A&M, I wanted AK back at Ole Miss.
Bring him home?
Yeah. But the condition was he has to wear his suits from 07, where he had like 15 buttons on a sport coat.
Yeah, like the gigantic.
Yeah, it was awesome. He was wearing like raincoats. It was the best. Yeah, I wanted AK back at Ole Miss. Because also when AK had the Ole Miss job, Cobb was yelling at me saying like I'm stupid. I was like, Cobb, Ole Miss was the worst basketball job in the SEC when Andy had it.
They were still fun though.
Now, if you have at least mid-tier SEC money, I trust that my boy could get some work done. Like,
yeah.
You think it's ever possible though?
The last time it wasn't. I don't know. I just wanted it. I was in my field. I wanted him back.
You want a Yaxel Landenborg and
I think there would be a better chance of Andy keeping Yaxel Landenborg if he was at Ole Miss.
Take him with him, yeah.
Well, no, but we also have to figure out who would be the undersized guard that Andy would let shoot every single time.
Did they not already recruit that? Did they not get Pop Isaacs?
But he could go higher end.
Ah, true.
Like, because that's the other thing. Everybody always points to Marshall Henderson, Steph Moody. People don't realize it all begins with Chris Warren.
Yeah.
Chris Warren was the John the Baptist. Chris Warren, John the Baptist, Marshall Henderson, very ironically, Jesus, and then Steph Moody's the Apostle Paul. Like, that's the actual order of things. But it all without Chris Warren, it doesn't happen.
There is no, yeah. Correct.
Well, and also without, like, multiple drug charges, whatnot, for Marshall to wind up at, like, some junior college in Utah.
We don't have to talk
about that. Well, as Marshall pointed this out, I didn't realize this. Chris Beard was the assistant under Pat Knight at Texas Tech, and he recruited Marshall to Texas Tech. That's where he signed out of high school. And then Pat Knight got fired, and the players made a push to get Chris the job, but because they fired him, like, very rarely does the assistant of a fired coach become
then
the head coach.
Elevate, yeah.
But Marshall redshirts that year, and then I forgot the other kid's name. I think he wound up at Nebraska. He was the Big Ten scoring leader. Texas Tech could have had the Big Ten and the SEC scoring leader, but they let them both go because they fired Pat Knight. Like that one was a fun one. Let's do the AAC. American Conference Athletic Directors unanimously approved a performance revenue share model for basketball tournament units. Schools get all unit values earned in a particular year before unit revenues are distributed to the league in subsequent years. A single unit is distributed over 6 years. This is according to Ross Dellinger. I'm going to attempt to translate this.
Yes, please do. I'm trying to follow.
English, please.
And see if this makes sense. My interpretation of this is the schools that actually earned the basketball revenue money, they're going to get to keep it. AKA, I would imagine this was, remember Petiti's the Big Ten. What's the American, the AAC commissioner? Is it Pernetti?
Yeah.
Okay, when Pernetti, remember when he was, came to Memphis to meet with Memphis during the Pac-12 pursuit?
Oh, yeah, he was here immediately, yeah.
Yeah, Tim Pernetti.
Tim Pernetti. My suspicion is one of the talking points from Memphis is if we make tournament money, we want to keep it. And so what I think is, like, the SEC is going to take all the, like, they're going to make, like, I don't know, like 60-something, 70 million, something like that from the tournament this year. It's all going to go into one pool,
and then
they're going to split it. My interpretation of this
socialists over there.
I mean, ironically, they kind of, like, what I've always said, where Alabama doesn't, for all the criticism I can give it to Alabama and the fan base, what they do not get enough credit of, unlike Ohio State and unlike Michigan, like, they kind of take pride in, we're a member of the SEC just like Vanderbilt is.
And that's what, you know, it goes back to, if you talk about SEC pride and then chanting for the conference, it is a little bit different. You know, you can say whether it means more or not, it is a little bit different.
Like, does Alabama get breaks? Sure. Does Alabama dictate the conference like those teams do? They do not.
We got to respect the smart school.
But that's what Memphis should be doing in the American, right? But so yes, how can Memphis do it? Because this is a conversation we had when the Pac-12 comes along. Like, why is Memphis not a more powerful member of this conference when they are really the only one that is legit year after year in football and basketball, even though they don't always win the conference, right? So Memphis should be
part of the conversation in both sports,
right? But they're the key. They should be the what Texas used to be, right?
What Texas thinks they were.
Yeah, but they did have the control, right?
Yes.
But is this a way of Memphis getting some, like, maybe more under the table, behind, not really under the table, but behind the scenes control without being up front saying, hey, look, we're the best? Like, you could write the rule where it favors Memphis without saying we're favoring Memphis. Is that what this seems to come across? Like, is that what it seems like to you? Because that's what I want. I want the rules of the conference and the money being shared to be written in a way where it benefits Memphis without you saying it always benefits Memphis. As long as Memphis is doing what it's supposed to be doing, it will benefit Memphis.
Like, so right? They're not saying
it benefits Memphis. It's benefiting the teams that are investing.
Well, like, to your point, the Mountain West, when they were getting raided, they basically cut a deal with UNLV and Air Force. It's like, here's more money, like, up front. Like, it wasn't even like, here's more earned money. Like, here's more money because we need you to stay. Whereas, at least with this, yes, Memphis, I think what happened is Memphis and Tulane probably got into a negotiation. Like, hey, we can go to this Pac-12 thing. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but right now, you've got to show us things that would make sense. And this is probably...
And that's what...
This is probably one of those ideas, but to your point, it's like...
They're not just saying, hey, Memphis, you get more money every year. They're saying, hey, but if you go to the tournament, the money is yours.
Correct.
And that's what... Memphis is, a special treatment without giving the special treatment specifically. Like, the other teams can earn the special treatment. You can get to the special treatment if you put together, right? Like, it's fair for everyone.
No, it's clearly stated.
So that's, I like that. I like that. Anything that we can get that is going to, give Memphis an advantage somewhat, or at least show the respect that Memphis is not on the same level as everybody, Memphis has the best situation. You know, they don't have the best coach because they don't have Andy Kennedy, right? Like, he's over UAB. But
relatively speaking. First, I want to be very clear. I don't think Andy's the best coach. Andy is my favorite coach.
I was just kidding.
I'd make no bones about it. He's my favorite coach.
He is your favorite coach.
To cover, for sure. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt's going to join us.
Ja
has spoken on Twitter. Let's update the story. Let's talk about it with CJ. We'll do that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. There's still one more day to get involved with Zen Sports VIP Players Club sweepstakes for this past month. It's the Big Bucket Sweepstakes. That means one grand prize winner earns a $10,000 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game next Monday, or $5,000 cash. If you don't win the grand prize, there's also 20 smaller prizes, which include a $100 bonus bet on the championship game, or $50 cash prize. You can earn entries on every bet placed in March, every dollar bet in March, and you can even earn 10 times the entries on parlay wagers. Plus, if you sign up and make your first bet with code JeffTN, JEFFTN, you'll earn 500 bonus entries into the Big Bucket Sweepstakes. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee. CJ Hurt is, of course, a Grind City media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Also, check him out on the HBCU Huddle on Twitter, X, at ConRadicalness. CJ, what are we going to do about these finger guns? Oh, you want to get back into your song?
No. I love the song. That's how I want to come on every single time I come on.
Done.
In fact, when I wake up in the morning, I want to wake up and have that song playing immediately. You asked what we were going to do, and I thought you were talking about the wind. I was going to tell you to hold on to your draws. I don't know what's going on out there.
Oh, no. I mean,
the wind is atrocious.
Oh, I'm glad I have a very heavy car.
Yes. Now, finger guns, I've been saying finger guns have been a problem in this nation.
Yes, of course.
For quite some time.
Yes.
Like, I can't go anywhere in public without somebody doing the finger gun shooting.
Finger gun reform is a big issue for you, right?
Yeah, of course,
doing it in schools, how long are we going to let children be subjected to the whole finger gun thing, man? I'm not sure. I wish that somebody would step in and do something about the finger guns.
Well, because the Second Amendment, CJ.
Here's the other problem, though. What we all know for sure is, if they did not see it on a basketball floor, kids would never do it. Never do finger guns. That's something they couldn't come up with on their own.
Never. Also, finger guns used to be the little pew pew, like you got your index finger out and your thumb up. I don't know what type of guns we shooting with right now.
Looks like pump action shotgun.
Like your whole arm involved. Who was it who shot the quarterback? Finger gun style.
Was it Miles? He went like an AK-47.
Like and just let it rip on him. It was like, wait a second, what is going on with the finger gun situation in this country?
We gotta get it under control.
It's one thing to do it the way we were doing it as kids. You know, little six shooter, little pew pew. Either your gum goes down to symbolize the shooting, or your index finger comes in. Mm-hmm. But if you got the whole arm involved, like a 12 gauge or AK or something like that, that's wild stuff to me.
Was it the Falcons? I think it was Monday Night Football. I think when the Falcons were playing the Eagles, I did appreciate, maybe because I'm a Giants fan, I did appreciate. I think it was London, Drake London, scored a touchdown, and then he acted like he was shooting eagles in the air. They promptly flagged him on that too. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, we got to get this under control. We can't be fake shooting people. It's a lot like, you know, how after the tragedy surrounding Nicole Simpson and Ron Gold, we still don't know.
We got to find that killer. Yeah,
we got to find him if he's still around.
I think he's probably dead now.
We stopped doing the throat slashes. I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember. I don't know if everybody is old enough to remember. But I remember as a kid, how Steph does the night-night at the end of the game to let everybody know that the game is over. I remember multiple people just thumb across their neck, slashing figuratively throats or fingers, index fingers across the throat. And then after that murder, for some reason, they were like, okay, we still need to find the killer. But until we find the killer, nobody do any sort of throat slashing.
It was the first step. Once we got rid of that, we'd find the killer.
I come from the world of wrestling, and the throat slashing still happens all the time. The Rock just did it. We're doing all types of, but wrestling, I guess, is different. Ja has spoken. He's tweeted. Did you see his tweet, CJ? Did you see what he's saying now? His statement.
I've been on air all damn day. What did Ja say now?
Ja's statement. It's not many words to the statement. You have it in front of you, Jeffrey. You have Ja.
We had two.
All right. The internet's starting to run slow. I think we got some storm happening. A storm's a brewing out there. CJ, can you look out the window and tell us what you see?
It looks like another foreign nation's attacked the Everything app.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I hate when that happens.
Yeah. It's
My Twitter's not loading.
I blame Wisconsin here.
Fair.
Yeah,
those liberal judges again.
The first tweet.
Job this dot dot job that dot dot laughing emoji. The next tweet, God bless y'all prayer emoji.
What do we make of it?
I'm not going to do this game. I don't know what to make of this. What are you talking about?
This is not a game. This is real life conversation about pretend guns.
Oh, is that what that's in regards to?
What do you mean? Of course, because everybody's talking about it now over the past few hours. Is he going to get suspended? Is he going to
I got a theory. That's him calling out the Warriors. I mean, did you see Draymond? Draymond went up to the officials, and apparently, as long as you're recreating finger guns, I would have thought Draymond would be a snitches get snitches guy, but he went and told the teacher immediately.
Immediately, and did like acted it out.
Yeah,
like, this offended me so much.
Draymond is a snitches get snitches dude. Does Draymond not remind you of Randall from Recess?
Oh no, I've said this many times. I don't sports hate Draymond. I hate Draymond. Like I can't stand him. It drives me insane. But I mean, this is kind of the other thing.
I like Ja this, Ja that. It sounds like you put on a growl towel.
I'm pretty sure that might be pretty close. I was watching. We have ESPN on in the studio. They were talking about it on whatever the NBA Today or whatever used to be the Jump. I think it's NBA Today now. And I'm wondering if maybe he caught that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Tweeting along.
I don't. I don't speak social media like that, right? Like, I don't speak Twitter or Instagram. So people be posting things and folks will come to me like, yo, did you see this? It's like, yeah, I didn't think anything of it because that's not how I use the platform. I'm only on social media for the jokes and the food videos. That's it. I don't do a whole lot. I'm not a thumb warrior. I don't understand how that works. But maybe so. Job this, job that reminds me. I don't know if y'all ever watched Making of the Band.
Yeah.
When Diddy was making a band, they had a song called Bad Boy This, Bad Boy That. And the lyrics went, the hook was Bad Boys. All I hear is Bad Boy This and Bad Boy That. Bad Boy beat you down with a baseball bat. And looking back on it, I think there were signs that Diddy might have been wild in the early 2000s.
I'm of the opinion, I don't think they'll actually suspend him. Is that actually on the table in your mind?
I mean, yeah, everything is on the table. I don't think they'll suspend him either. If they didn't suspend him for the dance that he did last season, in New Orleans, that also had like some sort of
the introduction, like the starting lineup video?
Was he getting the gat? I can't remember what he was doing. It was at the end of the game. He had just hit like some sort of game winning type shot or some sort of big shot. I don't think he got that.
You're right. It was the Pelicans game. Remember, they were down like 12 and then Ja went nuclear in that fourth quarter.
And one of his first games back from the 25 game suspension.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was in New Orleans. He was doing a popular dance, New Orleans style dance. If they didn't suspend him for that, I don't think they'll suspend him for this. I do think they'll talk to him and say, hey, yo, you got to cut that out. And like he has to be mature enough to understand, yeah, this is kind of goofy that they're coming down on me for this. But, hey, I don't need any smoke, so to speak. So I'm just going to I'm going to do some sort of other 3-point celebration or some sort of other celebration after the fact.
Were you in the building last night?
Yeah, I was in the building.
Okay, so I'm glad because this is what Kevin and I were discussing, and so I want your opinion. Kevin and I were watching on TV, and Kevin was following along with radio. He had some work stuff. I did not take a lot of optimism out of it, with the exception of it was great to see Ja play great again. It's play on a back-to-back. It was good to see Zach Edey after a rough start, have a nice game. But in the building, was there more confidence coming out of that despite a loss?
I think there was more of an appreciation for how hard they played.
Okay.
And I think that's where the healthiest place to be right now with this team is. The coaching decision has been made. The players are what the players are. One day, that may be enough, right? But for now, it sure doesn't feel like it's enough. So what can you sort of hang your hat on as a fan of this team? What can make you happy and bring you joy? And it's that. It's, will this team go out there and fight? Will this team go out there and compete? How are you going to go out? That is the question. Are you going to go out swinging? Or are you going to go out limp? And I think you can take pride in, as a player, as a fan, as a coach, as an organization, there is pride to be had in saying, okay, we might not always make the right decisions as players or as coaches or as general managers, but damn it, there's no question that you'll know you played us because we're going to fight you, we're going to make it tough, and we're going to do everything we can to go out there and get wins. The issues are what the issues are with this team, and they hadn't changed. They've been the issues all season long. Big quarters, allowing big quarters that put them behind the eight ball. They had 45 points in the first quarter to the Warriors that put them behind the curve a bit. Three-point defense has been an issue all season long. Turnovers have been an issue all season long. Rebounding, offensive rebounding, opponents' offensive rebounding specifically has been an issue all season long. I don't know why a reasonable person would think that, hey, the last six games under a completely different coach, all of that will get fixed. There's no reason to think that. But there is reason to think, and there should be the expectation that even as flawed as this team is, and as flawed as the players might be, they're going to go out there and, damn it, they're going to try. They're going to lay it all out there on the line. Zach Edey is going to do whatever it is that they need Zach Edey to do to the best of his ability. Is it going to be enough? Maybe, maybe not, but he's going to do it. Same thing with Scottie Pippen Jr. Same thing with Santi and Luke Kennard, and certainly same thing for the main three, Jaren, Desmond, and Ja Morant. As long as they go out there and compete, I know it sucks that to hear as a fan who thought, hey, they had two seed just a month ago. But as long as they go out there and fight and compete, I think you can take pride in that. That's a culture type thing right there.
What do you think with these remaining six games, what do you think it would take to avoid the play-in?
We got a game against the Timberwolves coming up, and the Timberwolves are the team that's right behind you, so beating them obviously matters. But again, it's six games left. Go out there and win all six. Go out there and compete to win all six. That'll keep you out of the play-in, certainly. That'll keep you out winning. You win six games, that'll keep you out of the play-in and probably move you up some in the standings, if that matters at all. I think that from a record standpoint, you got to get the win over the Timberwolves, so that's one. You win the season against the Mavericks, got to get that win. That's two. This road trip here where you're going Heat,
Pistons, Charlotte.
You got to get two of those. So that's four right there. And I think if you come out the last six games with four wins, I think you're in a pretty okay space if you're the Grizzlies.
If the Grizzlies fell to – this was kind of what I was talking about with Kevin. If they're in the 9-10 game, is it clear to you that you should root for them to win? Because the only way they would keep their draft pick is if they lost that 9-10 game and they'd at least retain their draft pick. And best case scenario is you go and you play the Thunder.
Yeah, no, it's not clear to me that you win from a roster constructing, like high draft pick standpoint. But again, it's a culture thing. You want to win. You want to be in the playoffs for the health of the franchise and the mentality of the players going forward, letting them know, hey, even though things aren't going your way, we still fight for a playoff berth. We still have that type of an expectation with this team and with this franchise to be in the playoffs. So even though it might be beneficial to us, and I'd question how beneficial a lottery pick would be for the Grizzlies, yeah. Even though we might be rewarded with a high draft pick to not make the playoffs, F that, to hell with that. We want to be in the playoffs because good teams make the playoffs. And that's what we want to be seen as a good, competent team.
Yeah, but getting swept from the Thunder, though, and the round one, I mean, that's – or having a lottery pick. What?
What would a lottery pick do?
It could do a lot.
At least is some asset, right? You know, because
it's some prize for the end of the season. That this Grizzlies team, like getting swept, is you get nothing. I mean, you get sent home with nothing. You get two home playoff games.
Let me ask you this: Grizzlies get a lottery pick. Can that be packaged for a significant improvement of as it pertains to a role player?
I think you're probably right in the sense that unlikely, but. Like to me, it's like it at least gives you something.
I like the luck in the lottery better than the luck against the Thunder.
What do you mean luck in the lottery? Luck in the lottery to do what?
To get something.
The Grizzlies don't need another young player. They talked about doubling down last year.
I'll take all the talent. I'll give me all the talent.
All the talent. All the young talent.
I'll take any of them.
Young talent doesn't win you championships in the NBA.
I mean, I think this is a big problem.
Not
I mean,
immediately.
Zach has stated that, you know, doubling down on youth, tripling down on youth wasn't a good thing. And it's like, yet somehow, like through circumstances, the team just gets younger every year. And I'm with you, man. Like, I think this guy, like, I don't care if it's a freaking rental. Like, this idea that for sure you just re-sign Santi, it's like, no offense to Santi, but it's like, I would rather use that money and even go get a vet, just a rental. Like they need someone in that locker room with an actual like voice that's a vet that plays.
And that's the issue. They tried to get that player in Marcus Smart, and it didn't work out. So even in getting that player, there's a chance that it doesn't work out. But I'd rather do that as opposed to.
But there's no chance it works out if you're playing the Thunder. There's just no chance it works out. There's just no.
I got news for you. I mean, let me ask you, Kevin. Who does it work out with them playing?
I think they'd have they would obviously be massive underdogs, but I can see a universe where if they played the Rockets, that they could actually beat them in a series.
The Rockets.
The team that 3-1 or 1-3 against?
Yeah, but two of those games were competitive. Like if you told me Ja, Jaren, and Dez have the Rockets do struggle to score, and yes, it is a bad matchup for them, but I would say they have 5 times the chances against the Rockets that they do against the Thunder.
Yeah, it's a better chance. Is it a good chance?
No, I mean, honestly,
good are two different things. Like, who's a good chance? And listen, it's this franchise, and rightfully so, I think, has banked on the continued growth of Ja, Jaren, and Dez. And as long as we've got them and they're healthy and they're ready to go, we'll be okay. So, a playoff series, another playoff series with those three together, assuming everybody is able to play, which is a big assumption, I think that does way more good for you as a franchise than getting a draft pick and maybe being able to move it. Probably not, because your lottery odds aren't that great to get something like in the top 3, top 5, top 10. So you're picking 12, 13, 14.
You're picking 14th.
And does that pick have the necessary value for you to be able to package that, just that pick, and somebody else to bring in something of immediate value for this franchise in this moment next season? And I don't think that it does. And this franchise feels, because of the growth of Ja, Jaren, and Dez, and because of their age, they're now solid bets in the NBA. It feels like the window is open now for them. Especially from fans' perspective, it feels like fans think the window should be open.
Your window should be closed. You should be inside your house. The storm is coming, CJ.
Well, I got to get out in there. I got to get home. I'm still at the workout.
What?
Well, then go get home.
Get home. Be
go
safe.
Get home. That is all right, buddy. That's CJ Hurt. We come back. We tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Kevin. For today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, let's go to an all-time storyteller, Mike Gundy. When he was asked comment about the Colorado-Syracuse spring game falling apart. I mean, I mentioned it the other day. I just thought of the deal with OU. I think it's a good deal. I would like to do it. I would like to practice against them. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to waste my time on who's going to determine what the rules are anymore, because essentially there's not really enough of them to follow. But I'm not sure how they have the grounds to say you can't do it. Like, if somebody just goes and does it, what are they going to do to him? Basically, just saying, let's just play the game anyway. I'm kind of with him. Want to thank CJ Hurt for being on the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next.